Today's daf is Vachim daf Kuf Beis, and we are 13 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. So daf Kuf Aleph was a classic daf. It discussed the beginning of Parsha Shmini, specifically after Mises Nadav and Avihu, Aharon, Elazar, and Isamar burnt one of the Karbonos Chatos that were brought on that very special day. They burnt the Seir Rish Chodesh. Vayiktzayf Moshe. Moshe was really upset. He got angry at them. Madua lo yachaltam es achatas b'makom hakodesh. Aharon explained to Moshe what he had done. Moshe realized he had made a mistake. Vayishma Moshe vayitav be'enav. And the primary topic of the daf was a machlekes tanan. Rav Nechemiah on the one hand, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, talmidim of Rabbi Akiva on the other hand. And the question was why, in fact, Aharon burnt the Karban Chatas. Rav Nechemiah said, Mipnei Aninus Nisrafa. Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon said, Mipnei Tuma Nisrafa. The Gemara had discussed it in great detail. There was one nuance that the Gemara had mentioned, which the Gemara is going to get back to in a moment, but for now, we digress from this morning's topic to another very, very classic daf. So, Zvachim daf Kuf Aleph, Zvachim daf Kuf Beis are both classic dafim for different reasons. Regardless, says the Gemara Amar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu, Koyin Gadol, V'cholik B'kodshei Shamayim Hoya, unbeknownst, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Koyin Gadol. So, if you ask your kid, who was a Koyin Gadol? Aharon. If you would say Moshe, when I was in yeshiva, I'd get a frask. But the truth is, Rav said, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kohen Gadol, V'cholik B'kodshei Shamayim Hoya. Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Kohen Gadol, and he ate kachin that's only Nechal L'Kohanim. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to eat it. Me'elam Yiluim, L'Moshe, Hoyleman. Now, this pasuk is in Parshas Tzav. And the truth is that if you take a look at the context of Parshas Tzav, then what Rav is saying at first glance isn't such an incredible chiddush. Parshas Tzav discusses the Shivas Yimei Amilu. And as we mentioned this morning, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that served as Kohen during the Shivas Yimei Amilu. It was only Vayi Bayei Mashmini, on the eighth day from Hakamas HaMishkan, that the torch was handed from Moshe to Aharon. But this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu would be a Kohen isn't so foreign, because it's a Mefurasha Parish in the Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu served for the 7 days. Stating that, Rav was saying a chiddush. Rav was saying that you could have thought that when Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah during the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, he did so as a Zar. It was an Avodah that was kosher bizarre. Kamash Malon, that wasn't the case, says Rav. He did it as a Kohen. Not just that, a Kohen Gadol. And not just that, and this is really the kicker, Rav held, as we're going to see in the course of the sugya, that Moshe Rabbeinu never lost his status as Kohen Gadol. As if to say, Mailun B'Kodesh Ve'Emay Ridin. And once Moshe Rabbeinu was Kohen Gadol, for the 7 days of the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, Moshe Rabbeinu would remain a Kohen Gadol for the rest of his life. As if to say, if he wanted to do the Avodah at some point, year 38 in the Midbar, it was something that he had a right to do. Either way, the Gemara had previously said, and that's why the Gemara is digressing into this topic, that one of the three kashas Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon asked Rav Nechemiah is, how could you, Rav Nechemiah, say that the reason that the Seir Rish Chodesh was burnt was Mipnei Aninos? It's true that Aharon, Elazar, and Isamar were in it. Aharon wasn't Oine because he lost his two sons. Elazar and Isamar were in him because they lost their brothers. But Pinchas was a Kayin, and Pinchas wasn't an Oine because Nadav and Avihu were uncles to Pinchas, and there's no aninus when it comes to an uncle. So the Gemara's kasha was, Freik Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, one of three kashas, that why they have to burn the Seir Rish Chodesh, why couldn't Pinchas just eat it? Freik the Gemara of Im Isa. Now if you're going to tell me that Rav is right, that Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Kohen, Lema Vale Moshe Rabbeinu Hayiman, why did Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon only ask from Pinchas? Why didn't they also ask from Moshe? Elamai, Moshe wasn't a Kohen. It's a kasha on Rav, says the Gemara, Dumashani Moshe Ditar Bishchina. Could be really Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. And from that standpoint, he could have eaten. But at the same time, it's not a kasha why the Gemara didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu should have been the one that ate the carbon chatas, because it was understood that it wasn't practical for Moshe Rabbeinu to eat the carbon, because Moshe Rabbeinu was busy. What was he busy with? The Shechina. Moshe bashkama Allah ubashkama Yar. Rashi says that's referring to the days leading up to Har Sinai, where Moshe Rabbeinu was the in between. He was the messenger between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, Moshe Rabbeinu said, one second, let me go up to Shemayim, let me notify Hashem that you said Nasa V'Nishma. When Hashem told Klal Yisrael that for 3 days you have to separate from your wives, Moshe Rabbeinu came down and told them. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was going up and down the mountain, he's Allah Bashkam and Yared Bashkam. And the Gemara seems to suggest, if that's the way it was then, that's probably always the way it was. So Moshe Rabbeinu was tired. If Moshe Rabbeinu was tired, it's for that reason, Moshe Rabbeinu, despite the fact that he was a Kohen, couldn't eat from the carbon, and that's why the kasha was Pinchas should have eaten, but there was never a kasha that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have eaten. Incidentally, the Karen Eretz speaks out that that's probably why, according to Rav, Moshe never did the Avodah. Meaning, if Rav holds that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, how come you don't find Lo Shamanu V'Lo Re'inu that Moshe Rabbeinu decided 1 year Yom Kippur, he's the Kohen Gadol, he's going to do the Avodah? We'd probably have heard about that had that ever happened. Says the Karen Eretz, never happened. You know why? Because he was tired. Moshe Rabbeinu was tired in the Shechina. Tarid the Shechina, and he's giving up Kohen Gadol, says the Kohen Eretz. Yes, the Maila of Moshe was greater than the Maila of Kohen Gadol, and for Moshe Rabbeinu to have decided to go do the Avodah as Kohen Gadol would have been a downgrade for him. As a result, being Tarid the Shechina actually made sense. Regardless, says the Gemara, there's no kasha. Meitzvi, I'll ask you a second kasha. Lechem Eloikov, Mikotche HaKodoshim, Umenakotchim Yoichel. So that's a real Kotchim Pasuk, and the Pasuk is describing a Balmum. Balmum's not allowed to do the Avodah, but a Balmum is allowed to eat Kotchim. And the Pasuk says he's allowed to eat kotche hakadoshim and kotchim. Now, kotche kadoshim is self-explanatory. That's a mincha, that's the shalmi tzibur, that's of course the chattis and the asham, not the oila, no one's allowed to eat the oila. So the Baal Mum is allowed to eat kotche kadoshim. He's also allowed to eat kotchim. What's the other kotchim? So by process of elimination, it obviously means kotchim kalim. But the Gemara asks, nemru kotche kadoshim, lama nemru kotchim kalim, then nemru kotchim kalim, lama nemru kotche kadoshim. Why does the pasuk have to single out that the Baal Mum is allowed to eat both kotchim kalim and kotche kadoshim? Says the Bryce, ilu loy nemru kotchim kalim, had it only said kotche kadoshim and not said kotchim kalim, you see, I mean, I would have thought, kotche kadoshim hu doichel, the Baal Mum is allowed to eat kotche kadoshim, shari hutru lazar, because you find a kula in kotche kadoshim. Even though kotche kadoshim is more chomer than kotchim kalim, but I will find you a kula, a tzad heter, that kachim kadashim has, that kachim kalim doesn't have. And that is, it's mutter to azar. That's not true. But there was a time in history that it was mutter to azar. You find historically a tzad heter for azar with kachim kadashim. But you don't find that by kachim kalim. Kachim kalim lo yoich. So that's why the Torah has to say that the Baal Mum is allowed to eat kachim kalim, even though the Torah already said that you're allowed to eat kachim kadashim. Vilu lo yinema kachim kadashim. And had it not said kachim kadashim, meaning it would have only said that the Baal Mum is allowed to eat kachim kalim. You say, I would have thought kachim kalim yeyoichel. That's easy. He's allowed to eat kachim kalim, shein kalim. But kachim kadashim lo yeyoichel. But kachim kadashim, which is more kadash, maybe that is not allowed to eat. Lokach nemru kachim kadashim, velokach nemru kachim kalim. Bottom line, the pasuk says that the Baal Mum is allowed to eat kachim. He can't do the avodah, but he could eat kachim. Which kachim could he eat? Kachim kadashim, kachim kalim. The Torah had to say both, says the Braisa. The fact that it had to say kachim kadashim, even though it already said kachim kalim, that's easy. Because you would have thought, had it only said kachim kalim, that kachim kalim, which has a kedusha kala, that of Balmum's aledi. But kachim kadashim, which is more kadash, maybe that is not aledi. Why did the Torah though have to say kachim kalim? Let it just say kachim kadashim. Says the Braisa, because there's a tzad kula, there's a tzad heter in kachim kadashim that you don't have by kachim kalim. Hutru lazar. You find a heter kachim kadashim by zar that you don't find by kachim kalim. Says the Gemara. Tani miyashari hutru lazar ulahem. What is that? Where in the world do you find that a zar is allowed to eat kachim kadashim? Kachim kadashim is nechel lezichrei kahuna. Even the wives of Kayanim are not allowed to eat kachim kadashim. Elamai, once upon a time, there must be somewhere a heter. Where is that? Says the Gemara. Aha. Moshe, maybe it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu during the Shivat Yimei Maluim ate from Kachik Kadashim. Moshe Rabbeinu must have been a Zar. So you see that once upon a time, a Zar was allowed to eat from Kachik Kadashim. You don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu ate Kachim Kalim. You only find that he ate Kachik Kadashim. Must be, that's the Kula that the Gemara is referring to. But what do you see then? That Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a Zar. I'm Rav Sheishis. That's not what the Braisa means. It's referring to a Bama. Then on a Bama, a zar, even a bamas yachid, is allowed to eat kachim kadashim, but you don't find anywhere that he eats kachim kalim. The Gemara explains. It's going according to man that holds that a mincha was brought on a bama. If a mincha was brought on a bama, a mincha is kachim kadashim. Rashi speaks out that how would you have kachim kadashim on a bama? Only a mincha. Why? You could bring an oil on a bama, but the oil wasn't eaten. Chatas va'asham, being that the napa b'neda b'nedava could never have been brought on a bama. And the shalmei tzibur, which was a carbon tzibur, obviously wasn't brought on a bama ziyachar either. So the only form of kachim kadashim that could have been brought on a bama was the mincha. And it's a machlekes whether you could bring a mincha on the bama. But l'divrei ha'emer yesh mincha b'bama, if the baal ha'mincha brings this carbon, he's allowed to eat from it. So you see that a zar could eat kachim kadashim.
whereby a bum. But you don't find anywhere that he could eat kachem kala. Fake Rashi, why not? Shlomim, he can't eat from a carbon shlomim. Says Rashi, that's true. He could eat from a carbon shlomim. But only the chelik of the shlomim that was anyways nachal abaylim. What about the chelik of the shlomim that was supposed to go to the kayanim? The chelik kamurim, the truma of the carbon shlomim. There was no chelik kamurim by a bum. So you don't find anywhere that a czar is allowed to eat that. Menela had the Torah said kachem kadashim and not kachem kalam. I would have thought about mumza lad eat kachem kadashim because you find that a czar eats kachem kadashim. Where? Zar bebama, but maybe kachem kalim. Which kachem kalim? The chelik that was nachal kayhanim. The chelik kamurim. Well, you don't find anywhere that it was eaten by a zar because it wasn't eaten by a bama. So kedai techamina. Maybe over there the balmum's not allowed to eat it. Kamash malon that he's allowed to eat side kachem kadoshim and side kachem kalim. Bottom line is that you have no raya from this brisa that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a zar. Thus. Strike two, we don't have a kasha on Rab. But the Gemara asks a third kasha. Meisavei Miriam mihiskira. We know that Miriam and the end of Parashas Bahaloyscha was a Mitzayra. In order for someone to be a Mitzayra, you need a Kayin to paskin that this person is a Mitzayra. So who was the Kayin that presided over Miriam? A classic Gemara. Im Taimer Moshe Hiskira wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Zaru. Moshe was a Zar. Vein Zar Royas and a God. A Zar is not allowed to do Nagon. Im Taimer Aharon Hiskira. Maybe it was a Aharon. Aharon Karavu. Vein Karav Royas and a God. A Karav is also not allowed to be Nagon. Ela Kavit Gadol Chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miriam Bais Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Miriam tremendous Kavit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani Kayin. I'm going to be a Kayin. Vani Maskira. Ani chilta va'ani poitra. Bottom line is, k'tani miyos, what did the Braisa say? That it couldn't have been Moshe that presided over Skiras Miriam, because Moshe Zar, vein Zarayas anagam, it's a kashan Rav. Rav said that Moshe Rabbeinu, who became a Kohen during the Shivas Me'amaluim, retained his status of Kohen, not just an ordinary Kohen, Kohen Gadol. Here you have a Mufurish Braisa that says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a Zar, Am Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, Shani Maris, Nagam, Naharan, Aban of Tzuvim, Beparsha. Maybe really the Braisa agrees with Rav that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a kohen. What does it mean it was a zar? Klape the halachas of Maris Nagam, he had a din of a zar. Because in order to preside over Maris Nagam, it's not enough to be a kohen. The Torah says Aharon Ubanav. So just because Moshe was a kohen wouldn't necessarily give him the right to be involved in Maris Nagam. He was a kohen. It's only klape Maris Nagam he didn't have a din of a kohen. I think the obvious question is, then what about Hashem? Hashem said, I'll be the Kohen. Hashem isn't either a Aharon Ubanav. Either way, Meisve, your fourth Kasha. Chamesh Smachos Hoysa Elisheva Yisera Al Bnois Yisrael. So this is referring back to this morning's daf. Vayehi B'yei Mashmini. On that day, Elisheva, also known as Elisheva Bas Aminadav, also known as Achos Nachshoy, also known as Aharon HaKohen's wife. So Elisheva on that day had five Smachos. She was Besimcha because she got five levels of Chashivos. Number one, Yevama. And this is an interesting lashon. Her brother-in-law, meaning her husband's brother, she would be the Yevama in the event that it played out as Yibun, Melech. Who was her husband's brother? Aharon's brother was Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was Melech. Isha, her husband, Kohen Gadol. Aharon was the Kohen Gadol. Bina, her son, Rashi says, Elazar, Skan. He was the Skan Kohen Gadol. Ben Bina, Elazar's son was Pinchas, Meshuach Mecham. He was the Meshuach Mecham. Vachia and her brother, Nasi Shevet. He was the Makriv HaRishon. Nachshav and Aminod. So she had five smachis, but unfortunately, Va'avela, Shnei Baneh. She also had an Avelos. Times two. She lost two of her sons. Nadav and Aviv. K'tani, Mia, what do we need from this braisa? Yevama Melech. Her brother-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu, was a Melech. Melech in Kohen Gadol. If Moshe was also Kohen Gadol, why does it only say Yevama Melech? So the Gemara says, Ema Af Melech. Not Melech. You could always add it to braisa and say Af Melech. Regardless, as the Gemara, Kitanoi. Really, this Shaila of whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol or not a Kohen Gadol. And we ask Kasha from braisa after braisa after braisa after braisa. And we deflect the kashas on all these brises, stating that says the Gemara, it's really a machlokes tana. The pasuk says va'yicharaf Hashem b'Moshe, and the context is Moshe Rabbeinu is revealed to by Kadosh Baruch Hu by the Sneh, the burning bush for the first time. Moshe, Moshe, shal nalecha mi'al magrecha al tikrav haloim. Right, the rest is history. So Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem, I want you to be the shliach. You're going to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu refused. Back and forth, forth and back. Who am I? I don't have a good koyach hadibur. Vayicharaf Hashem. Finally, Hashem gets angry at Moshe. Rabbi Shulben Karcha Omer. Rabbi Shulben Karcha made an observation. He said, Kol charoi nafshe b'tayra never may roshem. Every time you find in the Torah the loshen charoi naf, something bad happens afterwards. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi gives examples. Sometimes there's a klola. Sometimes there's an azifa. Sometimes there's a giduf. There's always something that goes down.
But this is the one exception to the rule. Said Rabbi Shua B'Karcha, nothing bad happened. Hashem got angry at Moshe, but at the same time, nothing happened to Moshe. It's not true. There was a Roshim. Shenemar. The pasuk says, Aloy Aharon Achicha Halevi. Aharon Achicha Halevi. Everyone knows that Aharon wasn't a Levi. Aharon was really a Kohen. Elamai, what it means is Hachikamar. Hashem told Moshe after Moshe Rameda went back and forth for a week. My initial thought was that you would be a Kohen and your brother Aharon would be a Levi. Achshav, but now, because of the way things played out, who Kohen? He's going to be a Kohen. The Ata Levi, and instead, you're going to be a Levi. The Chachamim say, Moshe Hamiluim Bilvat. It's not true. Meaning, Rav Shimba Yechai said that when it says Vayichar Af Hashem B'Moshe in that pasuk, there was a Roshim. What was the Roshim? Haloy Aharon Achicha Levi. Aharon was supposed to be a Levi, but because of Vayichar Af Hashem, now Aharon's going to be the Kohen. So Moshe Rabbeinu never became the Kohen. The Chachamim say it's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kohen, albeit for 7 days. Lo Neskaya Moshe Elu Shivis Meib Luon Bevat. The Chachamim Aymer, the Chachamim Aymer, third sheet, Lo Yposka Kohuna Elu Mizara Shal Moshe. That Moshe Rabbeinu became a Kohen, not like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And he was a Kohen for 7 days, but even more than that, he was a Kohen for his entire life, not like the Chachamim. What then does it mean when Aharon got to Kuna, not Moshe? Aharon was a Kohen and his children were Kohanim as well. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu for himself was a Kohen, but his children would never be Kohanim. Meaning it was like, Paska Kuna Ela Mizarish on Moshe, Shenemar. And Yechonim has two psukim in Nach, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. Number one, the Pasuk says, Umoshe Israelikim, Bonav Yikaru Al Shevet Halevi. It's mashma only Bonav Yikaru Al Shevet Halevi. His sons will be Levim, but he himself will be a Kohen. Va'omer, another Pasuk, Moshe Aharon B'Chayanim, Shmuel B'Kari Shmei. Everyone knows the Pasuk. Moshe V'Aharon B'Chayanim. What does the Pasuk mean? Moshe was a Kohen and Aharon was a Kohen. What do you need to psalk him? I'll tell you what. Maybe the first Pasuk is not such a good ride, because the first Pasuk is in Divrei Hayom. And the Pasuk over there is describing Doirish on Moshe. It's describing Moshe's family. So it says, on the topic of Moshe's family, they were Levim. Maybe had we been talking about Moshe, we'd mention that Moshe was also a Levi. From the fact that the Pasuk says Moshe's children were Levim, and it doesn't say Moshe was a Levi, it's not a riot that Moshe wasn't a Levi. Maybe we're just describing his children. Therefore, we mention the other Pasuk, Moshe v'Aharon b'Chayanov, to tell me that no, I have a Mefurish Araya, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. Bottom line is you see in this Braisa a big time Machlokes Tanam regarding the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be a Kohen, but because of Vayichar Af Hashem, it was Oyser Roshan, Aharon became the Kohen. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was never a Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Zar. The Chachamim say Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, but only for 7 days. After the 7 days, he was a Zar. There's a third Shita, Yeshayim, that says Moshe Rabbeinu became Kohen during the Shivas Me'amaluim, and he remained a Kohen for the rest of his life. Says Rashi, Rav, that says that Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol Haya, V'chaylik B'kach Yeshamayim, is going Aliba, the Yeshayim, the third Shita, that Moshe V'Aharim B'chayanov, U'shmo B'kari Shemay, Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact a Kohen. He was in Kohen for his entire life. So even though there's a bunch of braises that the Gemara had a force to make work with Shitas Rav, we don't have to say that. At the end of the day, it's really Machlokes Tanoim. Rav has a Tana de Mesayele. It's not like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's not like the Chachamim, but it's like Yeshayimrim. And Rav is going like Yeshayimrim. Thus, at the end of the day, whether Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen or a Kohen Gadol, or maybe it was just an ordinary Zar, is really b'machlokes Shnuya. It's totally in a big Machlokes Tanoim. Says the Gemara, V'chol charoi nafsha b'toyer nema by roshim. So the Braisa began with Rabbi Shimon Karcha's comment. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, that every time it says Vayichar in the Torah, there's always a Roshim. This is the only time where there's no Roshim. That was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's response. It says, no, here there's a Roshim also. It says, Aharon Achicha Levi. Aharon was supposed to be the Levi. He ends up being the Kohen. Afraid the Gemara, is that true? I'll find you an example where it says Charoin af in the Torah and there's no Roshim. Nothing happened. Vayetze me'im Paroi v'chori af. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu left Paroi angry. Nothing happened. I'm Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, it's not true. You have to know the rest of the story. Sotroi. Rashi says he slapped him in the face. V'yatz, and he left. So there was a Roshim. But frankly, you might be on Rish Lakish. Could Rish Lakish say that Moshe Rabbeinu would have slapped a pari in the face? Fuck, see, but the Pasuk says, V'nitzavto l'krosay al sfasiyar. Hashem told Moshe, when he went to Paroi for the first time, how are you going to find Paroi? So he says, just go to him by the Nilus. He goes to the bathroom. No one thinks he goes to the bathroom. You're going to
find them there, and you should go. Benitzavta lekrosai asfasi. Said Reish Lakish, melechu vizbalei ponim. What does it mean, benitzavta lekrosai? Go and give him covet. Stand respectfully. Because at the end of the day, he's a king. Rabbi Yechonon amar, roshahu veheyes panechavoy. Just the opposite. Go lekrosai. Go with a chutzpah. Go with an azaz ponim. But Reish Lakish is the one that said that he had to have covet. So how could Reish Lakish say that Moshe Rabbeinu slap Pari in the face? Reish Lakish l'shitasei seems to be of the opinion that even a Russia like Pari had to have covet for us. We're Epoch. You have to flip Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's Rabbi Yochanan that said covet. Reish Lakish said the opposite. Reish Lakish understood that what Hashem was telling Moshe was go to him with a chutzpah. Reish Lakish l'shitasei said that Moshe Rabbeinu slapped Pari in the face, and that's the roshim of Vayetse Me'im Pari B'chariyaf, Om Rab Yanu, Lo'ilam Te'imas Malchus Alecha. Person should always have Eima for the king. D'chsiv V'yardu Kol Avodecha Eila Eilai. The Pasuk says that Moshe is telling Pari, at the end, he says, you're going to see your slaves are going to come crawling to me. They're going to come and they're going to say, just leave already. Why did he say V'yardu Avodecha and Pari not? Pari's not going to do the same thing. They like come Ale. Must be because he wanted a Shomkar. B'yechir Nama Me'hacha V'yad Hashem Hoysal Eliyo Yishanis Masna Vayaretz of Ne'achav. Rabbi Yechanan said that Eliyahu Novi is running in front of Achav. He's giving cover to Achav. Achav is one of the kings that have no chelik in Olam Haba of Perek Chelik fame. So why is Eliyahu Anovi the tzaddik Eliyahu? Yo, at Tishbi, why is he giving cover to Achav? Elamai, because he was a melech. And even though he was a Rasha like Paro, at the end of the day, there's an idea of lo oilam te'emas malchus alecha. Mitzvah Hashem will speak out right about this tomorrow. Amaruba, bikesh, l'shitasai, according to the Epoch. Very good. Amaruba, bikesh, Moshe, malchus, v'loi, nasnuloi. Ula said that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be king, but they didn't give it to him. The chsiv al tikrav haloin. Hashem tells Moshe, you can't go past this line. The ein haloim elam malchus. The word haloim is referred to. You find that word in the context of malchus. Shenema mi anoichi Hashem alekim. This is David HaMelech talking. Ke visani ad haloim. It's David HaMelech. Who am I that I'm king? So you see, the word haloim is in the context of king. So what did Hashem tell Moshe? Al tikrav. What did he mean when he said al tikrav haloim? Moshe Rabbeinu apparently was lobbying to be king. And Hashem told Moshe, you can't be king. Masiv Rava, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Yevam HaMelech. One of the five smachos that Elisheva Bas HaMenadav had, Vayihi B'Yom HaShmini, was that her brother-in-law, her Yevam, so to speak, was king. See, Moshe Rabbeinu was king. Amar Rava Loi Lazare Kamer. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu was king. What we mean is that he wanted that he should be the king of Klal Yisrael, that his family should be the kings, like David HaMelech is. And that's what wasn't given to him. Meaning, when Hashem said Al Tikrav Aloyim, what he meant to tell him was that your family can't have the Malchus. Meaning, he's suggesting that the word Aloyim doesn't just mean Malchus, it means Malchus L'Dairus, because Moshe Rabbeinu really was Melech. What he couldn't get was the Malchus L'Dairus. For Gabi Shol, the Chsiv Havoy Oid Aloyim Ish, who in Zareloi, you find by Shol this word Aloyim, referring to his Malchus, and Shol, we know, only he was king. His family never got the Malchus. It was David's family that got the Malchus. So the Gemara said, Iba Yisemo, either you can say, Av Ishbosheth. It's not true. His son Ishbosheth was also king for a very short time. The Iba Yisemo, Shani Shol, David Begavei Loi Koyim. Could be Shol's different meaning, because really Shol was supposed to be Malch. And his family was supposed to be Malchus. So when Shol got Malchus, it was Haloyim. It was Malchus for his family. Grada, he lost it. But it was supposed to be that way. And the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. Kid Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina. I'm Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina. B'shash, a place in Gedula Adam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Gedula to a person, Poiskin, Lo'i Lazar, Tzev, Gedairis. Hashem always gives Gedula to Dairis. Shenem la Yigra Mitzadik, Einav, Es Melachim, Lekisei. Hegis, Tai, Tech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashpila. If it comes about Gaiva, he loses it. Shenem ar, V'masurim, B'zikin, Yilachtum, B'chav, Le'oini. A much deserved and a much needed agada to Amid, but the bottom line is, what the Gemara is saying is that really, really, Shaul's Malchus wasn't Malchus of Loi Lazar, it was just because of Cheshbonos that Shaul ended up losing the Melucha. Bottom line is, exhale. So there's really two things that, I mean, there's so much here in this Amid Gemara, but I think two things that are worth discussing. Number one, what we saw at the end of the previous daf, which was the segue into this daf, which is Pinchas, and when exactly Pinchas became a Kohen. And number two, this idea of Moshe Rabbeinu being a Kohen. So let's start from Fangun from Umfang. We'll start with Pinchas. So there was a Machlokes, Rabbi Nechemya on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon on the other hand. Why exactly Aharon, Elaz, and Isama burnt the Seir Rishchaydash? Rabbi Nechemya said they burnt it with Ne'aninos. They were Einan. And even though there was a Rosh, Kasha Tzivesi, Kasha Tzivesi, Kasha Tzivesi, that an oinein on that day was allowed to eat kachim, but Aharon felt that it was only true for the kachshei shah, it wasn't true for the kachshei doiris. So the sir nachshim, they ate. The mincha that they brought on that day, they ate. The sar of the chavis hayoim, they ate. But the sirish chayidish was this kachshei doiris that they felt that they weren't allowed to eat. That's why they burned up. Here, Rav Shimon asked three kashas on Rav Nechemya. The kasha that we need for now was, if the reason they didn't eat it because they were oinonim, were they the only kayanim in the world? There were other kayanim. There was Pinchas. And being that Pinchas was also a kayan, why couldn't Pinchas eat it? And the Gemara gave two terutzim. The Gemara's teretz was that Pinchas wasn't a kayan at that time. And being that Pinchas wasn't a kayan at that time, I mean, it's true, of course, Pinchas goes down as one of the great kayanim of all time. But Vayibayay Mashmini, Pinchas had not yet been a kohen. When did Pinchas become a kohen? So that's where there's two truths from the Gemara. Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar, Rav Ashi. Rabbi Elazar says that Pinchas became a kohen beginning of Parshas Pinchas, and that's how you understand the Psukim. The Psukim say that Hashem says, L'chein hinini loisim lois brisi shalom, and he gives him the bracha of a hoysa loyal azari bris kunas olam. Why was he zaycha teguna? It was only because of the fact that he had killed Zimri. But at that time, by Hibayim Mashmini, which is right in the beginning, he wasn't a kohen yet. Being that he wasn't a kohen yet, Mamel, it's not a kasha that Pinchas should have eaten it. Rav Ashi said that even after the mice of Zimri, Pinchas wasn't a kohen. He didn't become a kohen until Yeshua Perich Habez. Either way, that's the Gemara at the end of Daf Kuf Aleph on Habez. Bottom line is that when you walk away from this Gemara and Daf Kuf Aleph, you walk away with a machlokes tanoim, when exactly Pinchas became a kohen. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, their kasha was, it can't be Mipnei Aninus Nisrof, because Pinchas could have eaten it. They obviously held Pinchas was a Kayan already by Yibayay Mashmin. Rabbi Nechemya held he wasn't a Kayan by Yibayay. When did he become Kayan? Machalikis Rabbi Lazar Ravash. Rabbi Lazar says in Parashas Pinchas, Ravash says in Sefer Yeshua. So we have three sheetahs in this Gemara right here. When Pinchas became a Kayan. Either he was a Kayan right away, by Hibayim Mashmini, that first day, Pinchas was already a Kayan. Or he becomes a Kayan after Parashas Pinchas, or he becomes a Kayan Yeshua, Perichopes. It's interesting that if you learn Chumash with the Rishonim, the Mefarshei Chumash in the beginning of Parashas Pinchas, it's clear that it's a Machlokes Rishonim as well. In other words, the Rosh asks Akasha. He says that how was Pinchas allowed to kill Zimri? Pinchas was a Kayan. A kohen is not allowed to be in the time of the mace. So how in the world was Pinchas able to go into the kuba and kill Zimri? L'chayr, as a kohen, he wasn't allowed to be in the time of the mace. And the Rosh grapples with the question to the point that the Rosh ends up saying that probably what happened was is that when Zimri went and pierced Zimri, when Pinchas went and he pierced Zimri, he was a goises. He was mefarcheses, but he hadn't actually died. I mean that he hadn't actually died, so at that point, he wasn't tamei tumas mace yet. Because Pinchas was a kohen. If Pinchas was a kohen, he had no right to go out of Mimetam. The Das Kain and Bali Toys bring the Kasha, and the Das Kain say the Kasha is a Toys. Take a look at Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph. In Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph, it's Mavur that Pinchas wasn't a kohen. Pinchas became a kohen after the Maisa, or maybe even became a kohen later on in Sefer Yeshua, and Azai's Mavur in Rashi and Chumash, and Azai's Mavur in Rabbeinu Bachya. The bottom line is, when you learn Chumash, it looks like it's confusing. It's a big Machlekes Rishonim, as if no one saw when Pinchas became a kohen. Why the confusion? Bottom line is that Machlekes Rishonim, when you learn Chumash, Parashat Pinchas, is really Machlokes on the Gemara. It's Machlokes Tanoim and Amiram, right over here in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. But I'm going to tell you a Dover Nifl. That is the Chidah in his Svarim brings from Svarim HaKadoshim. He brings it from the Guri Ari and from others as well, again, above our pay grade. But the Chidah says a Dover Nifl. He says that the Svarim HaKadoshim say that when Zimri went to kill, when Pinchas went to kill Zimri, Shevet Shimon saw what was going to go down. Zimri was the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, and they got up to kill him. And Pinchas was very, very scared. And Parcha Nishmasa. And Hashem gave him back a neshama, but he didn't give him back his own neshama. He gave him back the neshama of Nadav and Avihu. Pinchas had in him the neshama of Nadav and Avihu. That was the neshamos that he got back right after he had lost his neshama, parcha neshmasai, because of the fear that he had, because Shevet Shimon was about to kill him. Says the Chidah, what's the tifkeit? What's the pnimius of the Indian? So he says pshat based on a well-known Gemara in the Sechtes Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis. The pasuk, when it describes who Aharon married, it says that Lazar ben Aharon, Elazar, Aharon's son, lokach loy mi b'nois putiyah loy le'isha. He took a wife from the b'nois putiyah. And the Gemara says, what's this loshen putiyah? So her yichus was that she came from Yisroi and she came from Yosef. She came from Yisroi. Yisroi is called putiyah. Shepite magolum lavei dezara.
She also came from Yosef, Shepit Beit Beitzrei, who was involved in his Yetzirah. Yosef was very handsome, he was a Yafei Tayar, and Yosef was Pit Beit Beitzrei. Say the Svar Makdoshim, the Chidah, again quoting Svar Makdoshim, that that Pinchas had in his Yichus Yisroi, and he had in his Yichus Yosef. Mitzad his Yichus of Yisroi, he had to be misaking the fact that Yisroi was Pitei Magolom Lavoidazor. That's the emphasis that Chazal put when we describe Pinchas as Yisroi. Yichus mipnois putiel ben shapita magolim lavi dazar mitzad his yichus from Yosef, he had to be masakin gili arayas ben she dasi mi Yosef she pit beit beyitzroi. And the svarim say that Yosef at tzaddik with the mice of eshes beitifa, the zera came out from between his fingers. That's Rabbi Yochanan no mizaro di Yosef kazino. He came from the zera. That's why Yosef, that Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 sons. The 10 sons that he lost were connected the 10 tipos of zera that were yotze mi bein sparnayim. So, but the bottom line is that Pinchas now had to be misakin his yichus from Beis Atzdodim. He had to be misakin the yichus mitzad Yisroi shapite magol mavi duzara. And on some level, there was a tikkun of Yosef Atzadik that he needed to be misakin as well mitzad his yichus from Yosef Atzadik mitzad this idea of the zera that. But al kaponim, he had to be misakin both things. How was he misakin these two things? He was misakin them by killing Zimri, because Zimri was involved in Gilead Arayis. He was a Baal Aramis. But we know the rest of the story. It's a Gemara Masach Sanhedrin Daf Kuvav. And we've spoken out rain on this so many times that really the Gilead Arayis that took place was very much intertwined with Baal Par. Go through the Pesukim. Ayin, Sanhedrin, Daf Kuvav. Bottom line is that Zimri was engaged in two Averas. Sayin the Avera of Avodah Zarah, and Sayin was engaged in the Avera of Arayis. So Pinchas, who's Mipnais Putiel, needs to be Misakin these two things. He goes ahead and he kills Zimri. But says the Chidah, that's the tiefkeit in the Nisham of Nadav and Avihu. Because Nadav and Avihu also had to be masak in these two things. We know the Gemara says in Masach Tzeirvin that one of the reasons that Nadav and Avihu died prematurely is because they didn't want to get married. We always speak out the Ksav Sofer why they didn't want to get married. But Nadav and Avihu didn't want to get married. So because they didn't want to get married, they had to require tikkun in Yonei Arayas. At the same time, the Pasuk says, the why did Nadav and Avihu die? Because they brought an Eish Zara. And Eish Zara is an Indian of Avodah Zara. So Nadav and Avihu's Neshama also needed tikkun in these two areas. How did they get tikkun in these two areas? They come into the Neshama of Zimri right when Pinchas is about to kill Zimri. So now Pinchas could be masakin the Benois Putiyah. At the same time, B'chad Machta, he's being misakin the Neshama of Nadav and Avihu, that need tikkun for these two things, like Nasu Nashim on the one hand, and the fact that they brought this Eish Zara on the other hand. The Chidah, in another piece, says similarly, that Chazal say, that why did Nadav and Avihu die? Because they were Moir Halacha Defnei Rabbah. That means they needed tikkun of Moir Halacha Defnei Rabbah. The Chasam Sofer in an art says that really all the Averas that Chazal attribute to Nadav and Avihu all stem from the fact that they were Moir Halacha Defnei Rabbah. Take a look in the Chasam Sofer in Parsha Shmini. But Al Kaponim, so says the Chidah, so Pinchas has to be Mesakin the Neshama of Nadav and Avihu. What did they need tikkun for? Because they were Moir Halacha Defnei Rabbi when they weren't supposed to be Moir Halacha Defnei Rabbi. How was he misakin it? By being Kanoim Poikim Boy, by being Moir Halacha Defnei Rabbi when he was supposed to be Moir Halacha Defnei Rabbi. The bottom line is, a little bit of interesting raid, some of the rest of the story, as it relates to Pinchas. Regardless, let's learn a little bit more Gemara, and then we'll come back to the second part of the raid, and we'll do some more Gemara, we'll do the third part of the raid if we have time. Either way, it's up to Gemara. So the Mishnah had said, Balimum, that even though a Balmum is not allowed to do the Avodah, but a Balmum is allowed to eat kachim. Not only is he allowed to eat kachim, but he's even chaylik b'kachim. Meaning, you would have thought that maybe he's allowed to eat it. So a kind that's not a Balmum, he has a schos when they divvy up they give the chalukah of the kachim. So this kosher kohen can get it, and if he wants to give it to his friend that's a Balmum, he can give it to his friend that's a Balmum. But maybe the Balmum doesn't have a schus to be involved in the actual chalukah, so the Mishnah said he does. But not even says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in a braisa, so it says, Kol Zachar, and this pasuk is describing the Karbim Mincha. It says, Kol Zachar Bivnei Aharon Yoichleno, the Rabbi's Balmum. What's Kol Zachar? Even a Balmum, the Mai. Ilachila, if it's coming to tell me that a Balmum's allowed to eat it, we had the pasuk earlier in the daf. Harik Farnema, Lechem Alei Kod Mikotche Akodah. Right, kachim kadoshim, kachim kalim. We know he's allowed to eat it. El lechaluka. Must be this pasuk is coming to the rabbis. That not only is a balmum allowed to eat kachim, but he even is able to be choylik. Tanya, look another brayz. It says by the korban chatos, kol zachar bekoyhanim
Rabbi's balibum. If the tummy is allowed to eat a rei kvar omer, that's a pasuk. Ilachaluka kvar omer, that's the call that it says by the karbon mincha. It's coming to teach me a third. I would have thought, maybe only a kayin that was born at Tam and later he became a Bamum. Bamum, how do you know someone that was born a Bamum that he too is allowed a Talmud Loimar? Call Zachar to teach me that even if he was born a Bamum, even he is allowed to eat kachem. Tandy Ducha, another brisa. Call Zachar, and this is regarding the Asham. So the first one is by the Mincha, the second is the Chatas, the third is the Asham. The Rabbi's Bamum, Lamar. Ilachilo Harek Faromer. Ilachaluka Harek Faromer. Ilabamum Meikara Harek Faromer. We already checked off all those boxes. So must be. What's this? The last one coming to teach me Shiyachal. Eli El Bamum Kavua. I would have thought only a Bamum Kavua. Bamum Oiver Minayin. Meaning, I would have thought maybe someone that's a Bamum, he has a Mum that's never going away. But someone that has a transient Mum, maybe he's not allowed to eat Kachem. Talmud Loimar Kol Zocher. Even a Bamum Oiver. Faith the Gemara. Klape Laya? Right? Punkfakert. That's what Klape Laya means in English. Right? Punkfakert. You would think just the opposite. No, it's not English. No, you would think that a Balmum Oiver should be more kuladig than a Balmum Kavua. I would have thought only a Balmum Kavua could eat Gotcha, but a Balmum Oiver. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Sheshes. Epoch, you're right, flip it. Meaning, I would have thought only a Balmum Oiver. I need another pasuk to tell me a Balmum Kavur. Vashi Yamal Oivum Loit Epoch. The Itzrach. So good, thank the Chara. Punkfakert, right? Vashi Yamal Oivum Loit Epoch. The Itzrach. So, I mean, I would have thought Tommy. I would have thought that a Bamum Oiver is like a Tommy. Not Tommy, Kamad Loi Tar Loi Achel. Just like a Tommy, as long as he's not Tar, he's allowed to eat. He's not allowed to eat. I find Nami Kamad Loi Matakun Loi Achel. Kamashwa. Meaning, you would have thought that a Bamum Kavua, meaning that he's going to be a Bamum for the rest of his life, so we let him eat Kachim. But a Bamum Oiver, maybe look at him like a Tommy, right? So, right now, he's on the disabled list, literally. And as a result, we can't give him Kachim. But maybe later, being that he's gonna be okay afterwards, maybe it should be okay. Kamash Malon. The Mishnah continued. And the Mishnah said, Kol she einoi roi l'avoido, einoi chalik b'basa. Any person that can't do the avoido doesn't get from the chalukah. It's a tel nisht in the kachim. And really, as we'll see in the Gemara, you see two things in this Mishnah. Number one, you see, by the way, Meyer told me that word last week, we got it right. Texted me. Yeah, I don't remember the word, but I'm afraid to say it again. But we got it right the first time. So he said, "No, get the kolshe anyway." What was the word? Imbakvent. Yeah. So kolshe in a roi lavoida, in a chalif abasa. So kolshe in a roi lavoida. Any person that's not allowed to do the avoida is not chalif pekachim. So you see two things. Number one, if you can't do the avoida, you're not chalif pekachim. But you also see that if you could do the avoida, you're always chalif pekachim. At least the Gemara thinks that's what you see. Frank the Gemara, v'loy, is that true? Number one, very about mum, d'loy roi lavoida v'chalif. How could you tell me any person that's not roi lavoida is not chalif? About mum is not roi lavoida, and he's chalif. V'su, it's mashma haroi lavoida chalif. If you're not roi lavoida, you're not chalif. But if you are roi lavoida, you are chalif. Harei tame b'karbanei sibur, a tame, a kind that's tame. If it's a carbon simur, tumah hutshu b'tzibur, tumah tchui b'tzibur. The roi lavoida v'enei chalif. He's roi lavoida because it's dachui, but you can't eat because we know even though tumah hutshu, tumah tchuiya, but doesn't give you a right to eat. Says the Gemara, change the gears on the mission. Not kol she enei roi lavoida enei chalif. Kol she enei roi lachila enei chalif. Faith the Gemara, is that so? Because it would come out then, same diak, that if you're roi l'achila, you are chaylik. I have an example of someone that's roi l'achila, that's not chaylik. Very katan, the roi l'achila, but the inay chaylik. Says the Gemara, I hear haloik tani. Meaning, you can't make the diak. What the Mishnah says is, kol she inay roi l'achila, based on the edit of the Gemara, inay chaylik. You thought that it was a nice diak. But if you are roi lachila, you are chaylik. Scratch that diak. That's not a real diak. The Gemara says, "Hashlo asas lahachi." If that's not a diak, la'olam kidegam mikar. Then you don't have to change the gersa in the mission. We can go back to the original gersa. The original gersa was not kol she any roi lachila ini chaylik, but rather kol she any roi lavoida ini chaylik. We had two kashas. The first kasha was balmon. The second kasha was it's mashmo. If you're roi lavoida, you're chaylik. A tame is roi lavoida is not chaylik. So Gemara says, I'll answer both kashas. Imishum tame, tame like tani. Second kasha first. As it relates to the second kasha, what do you mean a tame? A tame is roi lavoida and he's not chaylik. Doesn't say that. Meaning, it says if you're not roi lavoida, you're not chaylik. It doesn't say that if every single time you're roi lavoida, you are chaylik. Imishum bamum, with regards to the kasha of bamum, a bamum is someone that's not roi lavoida and he's chaylik. Bamum, rachmana rabia, over there, it's a special xerisa kasha. Then the Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said that if somebody is Tomei, afilu Tomei,
b'shas rikas dam. If somebody was tummy at the time of the zriko, v'tar b'shas hakdechalavim, then he was tar b'shas the haktara in a chelik b'basar. So if he was tummy at the time of the zriko, and then afterwards he became tar, it's not enough to be chelik b'basar. You have to be tar at the time of the zriko. Says the Gemara, it's mashma hatar b'shas rikas dam, v'tummy b'shas hakdechalavim chelik. What if it would be in the reverse? Not he was tummy b'shas rika and tar b'shas haktara. He was tahar b'shas rika and he became tummy b'shas haktara. It sounds like he'd be chelik. So Gemara, my sister, like Abishol. Time we went to Bryce Abishol. You have to be tar by both. You have to be a royal akrova. Say bishas the makriv dam and say bishas the haktoras chelavim. Boy, Rav Ashi, nit main time mao. What would be if he was tar bishas rika? He was tar bishas haktor, but he became tummy in between. Bishas rika, bishas haktor, be inavai. Do you say, being that he was tar bishas rika, he was tar bishas haktor? So I don't care that he was tummy in between. Or maybe he has to be tar the entire time. Says the Gemara Teku. So before we go weiter and we learn a rather complex daf, complex Gemara, I should say, just a little bit of more. That is, so the Gemara in its discussion of Moshe Rabbeinu, was Moshe Rabbeinu a Kohen, Kohen Gadol, was he a Zar? So Gemara asked the Kash, how could Rav say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol? The Brisa says, Miriam mi Hiskira. Who was Soiger Miriam? In time of Moshe Hiskira, Moshe Zarhu, the Ein Zar Roya Sanagar. Vim time Aharon Hiskira, Aharon Karavu, the Ein Karav, Roya is Sanagar. Freak the Masha, the obvious Kasha. For the same price that the Gemara says that Aharon couldn't be the one because Aharon was a Karev, the Chayyim Moshe was also a Karev. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Karev, so why does the Gemara have to say Moshe was a Zar, Aharon was a Karev? Once you have to say Karev to explain Aharon, who was not a Zar, so why didn't the Gemara just say that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be Maskir Miriam is also because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Karev? And the Marsha says, Enochanami. The Gemara could have said that, but the Gemara had a better reason. Moshe had no Sheikhis to being Maskir. Moshe, it wasn't a Kayin. If you're not a Kayin, you're not Me'inyana at all to do the Ha Skar. But the Svarim say, a Terence. The Svarim say that Moshe Rabbeinu was Aharon's brother. Moshe Rabbeinu was Miriam's brother. But then Moshe Rabbeinu changed. Moshe Rabbeinu reached levels. Moshe Rabbeinu was nistakich to such a madrega that he lost his physicality to the point that he was no longer able to be considered Miriam's brother. And to the point that Moshe Rabbeinu was not Aharon's brother. So mitzad the psul kurva, there would not have been a psul kurva. She was a czar. A big dead is a czar. He had no sheiches to being able to presiding over Maris Nagam. But as far as the kurva, being that Moshe Rabbeinu had reached such a level, it's for that reason it wasn't an issue. The obvious question is, as you find throughout Shas, the Gemara says Moshe and Aharon would be psuleyedos, even though there's no chshad that maybe they're going to be lying, because at the end of the day you're craving. So you have to say that it's just like a dugma baalm. It's not that it's a real life shaila, Moshe and Aharon coming together saying edos. Maybe they wouldn't be craving. Maybe Moshe and Aharon would be kushaledos. We're trying to make a point. We're trying to make a point that Moshe and Aharon are brothers, and if you had brothers, where? But the bottom line is, say the svarim that the reason the Gemara didn't say that Moshe was Aharon's car was Miriam's car because Moshe wasn't Miriam's car. And Chanami, biologically, they were brother and sister, but Moshe Rabbeinu had reached a madrega, and as a result of that madrega that he had reached, you no longer view them as kraven. Just me'inyan le'inyan, ba'isa inyan. I'll just share with you a Dover Nifla that I recently heard. And that is, I don't think we spoke to Santa the Daf yet. A Dover Nifla, and that is that one of the most sussum, most ambiguous parashas in the Torah is the parasha of the Me'meriva. Right? The chet of the Me'meriva is very, very confusing. The Rishonim and the Achronim, and everybody grapples. What exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu's chet? You would think it'd be straightforward. It's not. And the stakes were really, really high. The repercussions were that because of the chet and the Me'meriva, Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to lead the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. But what exactly the Aveira was, no one knows. There's a lot of confusion. There's a sefer called Eshtos that was written by Rav Moshe Bornstein. No relation as far as I know. But it was written by Rav Moshe Bornstein. The sefer was unique in that it had a haskama for Rav Chaim Briska. So Rav Chaim Briska didn't give many haskamas. Rav Chaim Briska gave a haskama on the sefer Eshtos. And in that sefer, this magid, Rav Moshe Bornstein, asked this kasha. He says, why is this parsha so much? It's probably the most awesome parsha in the Torah. So he said it Dov and Noir. He says, the Medrash says in parsha Zayis HaBracha that Moshe Rabbeinu was chatzi Adam and chatzi Malach. The Medrash says that Michetzei Ulamata, he was an Adam. But Michetzei Ulamayla, he was a Malach. So said the Magid, that the Chetta that made Meriva, that Moshe Rabbeinu did, happened in the Chetzei Ulamayla. It happened in the part of Moshe Rabbeinu that was a Malach. And being that we have no Hasaga in a Malach, it's not something that we can even begin to comprehend. It's for that reason when we cannot be Masig what the Chetta that made Meriva was. Because it's something that took place in a realm that's Lamayla Mehasaga Seinu. So the reason we don't understand the Chetta that made Meriva is because it was done by a Malach. It was done by the Chetzei Ulamayla of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chelik of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was a Malach. What came to mind was the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma is Akdama to Sefer Shmos, where the Meshech Chachma discusses the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Moshe Torah. He was the one that was Kibbutz Torah Mesinai, and he has an Arichus Gedoyla that Moshe Rabbeinu became a Malach. Moshe Rabbeinu lost his Bechira, and that's why V'gam B'chayamidu L'Olam, how do you know? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was going to do an Avera. Maybe a time would come where people wouldn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu had lost his Bechira. It wasn't possible anymore for Moshe Rabbeinu to do a real chet the way we understand chet, because Moshe Rabbeinu had lost his bechira. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to stop the sun, and he was able to be mezgaber on top of teva. It's an arichus gedoyla. It's classic. We've spoken out bits and pieces of it. But the bottom line is Moshe Rabbeinu became like a malach in the sense that he had lost his bechira. Moshe Rabbeinu was also like a malach in the sense that he was really a malach. Michetziu lemaila alkabanu is a malach. The point is he's a malach. Is nish kein mensch. He lost his kurva to Miriam, and that's why the Gemara didn't say that Moshe was a Karev. What the Gemara said was something else. I was thinking maybe, you know, Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu was Lohiniach ben Kamoisai. And if you think about it, it's very, very difficult to understand. How could Moshe Rabbeinu had not been Hiniach ben Kamoisai? It would seem to be a Chasarn and a Shlemos. Maybe, again, way above my pay grade, but maybe if Moshe Rabbeinu had gone above and beyond his kurva, he had reached a level, as much as Moshe Rabbeinu's sons were his sons, maybe they weren't his sons. Meaning, if Miriam wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's sister, then maybe Gershom and Eliezer weren't Moshe Rabbeinu's sons either. Mashal ma David Doim, the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says in Parshas Chayisara, Vashem Berech HaSavram Bakoel. Chazal say Bakoel's Begematria Ben. 52, it's coming to teach me that Moshe Rabbeinu had a son. Frank, the Chassam Sofer, we know Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, Avram Avinu. We know Avram Avinu had a son. Avram Avinu had a son, Yitzchak. What's going up? We need Piramiza, Vashem Berech HaSavram Bakoel. Bakoel is 52. Ben, is ending on his 52. Oh, Avram Avinu had a son. We know Avram Avinu had a son. Says the Hel Yichsan Sofer that Parashas Chayisar is right after the Chet, right after the Akedah. And by the Akedah, Yitzchak Avinu was a Korban Oila. He was Niskadish Kodesh Kedoshim. He became so Kodesh that he lost his Yichus. He lost his Yichus to Avram Avinu. So as much as Yitzchak technically, biologically was Avram Avinu's son, he really wasn't his son. So says the Torah that even though Avram Avinu maybe on some level doesn't have a son Yitzchak anymore, but Vashem Berech is Avram Bakoel, Bakoel's Begematria 52, he had a son. But it's not on the same level of Yitzchak ben Avram, because on some level, says the Heilige Chassam Sofer, he wasn't his son anymore, because he was a Skadish. Regardless, a little bit more Gemara. It's up to Gemara Vayter. So the Perek began, and again, I caution you, this next Gemara is a little challenging. So the Perek began with the halacha that a tful yoim umechusik yipurim einan chokim bekachim. That a tful yoim is not chaylik bekachim. Amar Rava, haidino. The Shita Megubetzis changes it to Rav. Amar Rav, haidino Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon gomir. I heard the following halacha that I'm about to tell you from Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon. Do Amar b'beis hakisei. And he said it over in the Beis Akise. If you look at the last line on the Amid, the Gemara is going to ask, Beis Akise? I thought you're not allowed to be Mahar Torah in the Beis Akise. We'll get to that. But said Rav, the following exchange, the following halacha, this braisa, I heard from Rav Shimon in a Beis Akise. Says the Gemara, but tful yoyim va'amar, if a tful yoyim would come over to a regular kayin, and he would tell the kayin, pay me mincha, I want you to give me a chelik of a carbon. I'm a kohen. I want to tail in the carbon. Amaloi, he could tell him that we learned in the beginning of the parak. The Gemara said that a tful yom is not chelik bechatas. So once we know that a tful yom doesn't get chatas, the kohen is going to be able to deflect the tful yom and tell him you can't get from the mincha either. Why? Me chatos Yisrael, madach. I was able to push you away from taking the carbon chatos. Makom shehuru koychacha b'minchascha enu din shadi chacha b'minchas Yisrael. Then certainly I should be able to knock you off from the carbon mincha. And that's based on the fact that a kohen has more schusim in a chatos than he has in a mincha. If Yisrael brings a mincha, the kohen gets a chelik of it. If a Yisrael brings a chatas, the kohen gets a chelik of it. If a kohen brings a chatas, the kohen also gets a chelik of it. If a Yisrael brings a mincha, a kohen gets a chelik of it. But if a kohen brings a mincha, it's what's known as a minchas kohen, it's kulei kol, it's like the korban oiva. He doesn't get a chelik of it. So it comes out that a kohen has more of a schos in a chatas than he does in a mincha. So madach, a chatas, where kohanim ordinarily have more schos in. The Tful Yom doesn't have a chelik in. So certainly a mincha, where kohanim have less chosim in, a Tful Yom is not going to have any. So the way Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon played it out was in rather dramatic form, was if the Tful Yom is going to approach the kohanim and give me from a mincha. He said, nah, madach, I cannot give you a chatas. Certainly, I don't have to give you a mincha, but the Gemara says the Tful Yom can respond. He can tell Ma'am, did the Chesani Mechatas Yisrael? You know what? You can push me away from Mechatas. Because you also have most chosim in a chatas. Just like I have most chosim in a chatas, you have most chosim in a chatas. So, Mimel, you have a koyach to knock me out. But Tadcheni Mimincha doesn't mean you can push me away from the mincha. Because although it's true, from my perspective, Madach, I don't get the chatas, I certainly shouldn't get the mincha. But from your perspective, I can flip it. That maybe you can push me away from the chatas because you have more chosim in the chatas. But k'shem shehura koichi, just like I have less chosim in the mincha, kachura koichacha, you also have less in the mincha. So although I'm shvacher in the mincha, you're also shvacher in the mincha. So maybe you can't push me away in the mincha. The bottom line is, said Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, although the koyein that's not a tful yoyim doesn't have a real koyach hatayna to knock away the tful yoyim, but at the end of the day he could knock him away based on the pasuk. It says the koyein amakriv oisa loytia ba hakriv echal. You can tell him, you want, go bring the carbon and eat it. Then you can't bring the carbon because you're a tful yoyim. Ba hakriv echal. So there's a pasuk in the parasha mincha that says that a tful yoyim doesn't get the carbon mincha. Tainly mechatas Yisrael. Had we only had this pasuk that says that the tful yoyim doesn't get the mincha. So what about the chatas? Now we know from the beginning of the perek that a tful yoyim doesn't get the chatas, but Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is playing this out in real time. So in this part of the brisa, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is making believe we don't know yet the makar that a tful yoyim doesn't get the chatas. So if the tful yoyim would come over to the kohen, he would say, "Tell me chatas Yisrael, I want from a chatas." I'm like, you can tell him, "Umadam bakam shura koyich in the minchasi dechisicha v'minchasi zom madoch, where I have less koyach in the mincha." Why do I have less in the mincha? Because I don't eat from the mincha's kohen. Still, I was able to knock you away and tell you you can't have from my mincha. Makam sheyofa koichi bechatasi. The chatas were have most chosim in. Enudin shadichachem mechatas Yisrael. Certainly, I should be able to push you away and not give you. Amalei. But the tulyayim can tell the kohen tahar the same thing we said in the previous Gemara. Umam shedichisani mimincha's Yisrael. You know why you're able to knock me out from the mincha? It's true, you don't have that much schosim in the mincha, but kachur koichi. I don't either have that much of the mincha. So being that I don't have that much of the mincha, I'm easily deflected. Tadicheni mechatas Yisrael doesn't mean you can push me away from the chatas. Because although you're going to tell me, if you can knock me out from the mincha, certainly you can knock me out from the chatas. That's from your perspective. From my perspective, Efshef Haker, you could only knock me out from the mincha because I have less in the mincha. Doesn't mean you can knock me out from the chatas. Bottom line, Rav Elazar said the pasuk says, "Akoyin mechato isi yechlena boichatev v'achol." Only someone that can do the avoda gets to eat, but someone that can't do the avoda doesn't get to eat. Amalei, if he tells him, "Tainli mechaza v'shoik v'aichol," if he comes to me and says, "Give me from the carbon shlamim," amalei. So the koyin tar could tell it for yom, you're not getting the shlamim. Meaning, we just established that the Tvoyoyim doesn't get from the Chatos or the Mincha. He could tell him, you're not going to get from the Shlomim either. Why? Mabah, Mokam Shiyofa Kechacha Bechatoscha. Madach, the Chatos, we have a Yipoy Koyach, the Chisicha. Mokam Shiyofa Kechacha Beshlomim, Shein Lecha Bemelech Hazav Eshoik. The Koyim got less meat with the Shlomim than he got from the Chatos. So Madach, by the Chatos, where ordinarily you get more meat, you have more of a Schos, I was able to knock you out. Certainly by the Shlomim, I can knock you out. Anyway, didn't Shadi Chacha. But the Gemara says, maybe the Tvoyoyim could respond. Umam did Chisani Mechatos. You think that I have more schosim in the chatas than the shlamim? I could spend it differently. I could say sheken hura koichi etzol nashav avodai. I could tell you a lesser schos that I have in the chatas. My wife and my slaves can't eat from the carbon chatas because it's only nechal lezichre kohuna. But who said tadicheni michaza v'shoyik sheken yofa koichi etzol nashav avodai? So maybe I have more of a schos in the shlamim. You're telling me I have less in the shlamim than in the chatas. So if a tful yoyim doesn't get from the chatas, certainly shouldn't get from the shlamim. Maybe fakir. Maybe the tful yoyim has more in the shlamim than the chatas. Because though he gets less meat in the shlamim, but he could share it with his family. As opposed to the chatas, he can't share it with his family. Harry, bottom line, it's a pasuk. Lakoyin azayrik esdam ha-shlamim lo yiyah. Buzz roik ve'achoyil. Bottom line is, the tful yoyim in this braisa, in Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's drama, tried getting
mincha, he tried getting from the chatas, he tried getting from the shlamim, and he couldn't get anything. Yatzot v'yoyim, kula v'chamur v'aroshay. So he walked out of court with the kulas and the chumras, all the svaras on his head. Oynen miyaminoy, the oynen's on his right. M'chusik aparav, stoyla, m'chusik ipurim is... Maris Sarach Beer is on his left, and then he walked out. B'chafui Reish, because just like the Oyin and B'chusak Kapara don't get the Tfuyim, doesn't get either. Paruch Rabbi Chai asked the Kasha, why did Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon stop there? He could have continued, because Lechura, just like the Tfuyim doesn't get from the Mincha and the Chatas and the Shlomim, he shouldn't get from the Bechor either. So Lechura, he could have played out the same exact Shaklev Atayi regarding the Bechor. Leiv Alei, he should have told him, Tainli B'Bechor, give me from the Bechor Ba'oichel. Mishunda Amale. So what's the Kayan targeted to tell the Tfoyim? I'm not giving you from the Bukhar, because Mabin Bakmashura Kaikh the Khatas Eitzel Nash of Abode, the Khisikha Mikhatas Israel, Madak the Khatas where I don't have so much schusim in, because I can't give it to my family. I was able to push you away. Makanchiyafa Kaikhi Bibkhar, the Bukhar I could share with my whole family. The Kule Dilihi, and not just that, it's all mine. Ain't it didn't shadi chachami man, certainly I should be able to knock you away. Umam did the but what's the Tfoyim gonna respond? Umam the Khisani Mikhatas, you were able to push me from the chatas. Shek Hashem Shurokei Chacho. Just like you don't have that much in the chatas, you can't share it with your family. Kachu Rokei Chay. I don't have that much. That's why I'm very easily deflected. Tidichani Bechar Kishem Shuyavakei Chacho Gayavakei Chay. But maybe you can't push me away from the Bechar. Because as much as you have more in the Bechar, I also have more in the Bechar. Harei Oimer, as Domam Tizrei Kalam Izbeach. Ves Chelbam Takter Ubesarim Yelach. Bozroik Vechar. So again, there's a pasuk that says that the only time you get to eat from the Bechar is if you're doing the Avoida. Bottom line is, Rabbi Chai asked the Kasha, so why did Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon not add this fourth part to his Braisa? So the Gemara says, V'idach, Parich, he's going to say, Miksiv, Ubesarim Lakoyein Hazoyrek, Ubesarim Yelach, Ksiv, by Bechor, it actually says, Ubesarim Yelach. We learn from there a riboy that even a kain that you would have thought ordinarily cannot eat, he still could eat, meaning a Bechor, that's a Tfoyoyim, again, a kain, that's a Bechor. Full yoim is allowed to eat from a bechor. Bottom line is, Rav said over this very interesting braisa. He said that he heard this from Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon when Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon was in the bathroom. Frank the Gemara, ve'echi yavid hachi. How is he allowed to do this? Rabbi Barbachan and Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Barbachan said, and Rabbi Yechon, v'chom alkom botul laharer. You're allowed to think in Torah anywhere. Chutz mi merchatz mi beis akise, except for a beis merchatz and a beis akise. So you can't even be maharer b'divrei Torah and a beis akise. Here it sounds like he was even talking and learning. So the Gemara says, lo einzei shayni. You have to say Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon was an oinus. Okay, look at Rashi, last Rashi on the Amid. Because Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon used to learn so much, he couldn't stop himself from learning. I mean that he couldn't stop himself from learning, it's for that reason that it was okay for him to learn. It's interesting, there's a Yerushalmi in Mesechtes Brachis. Do we have time? You know, we'll do this tomorrow, Mr. Shem.